Grace, mercy, and the peace of God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, be with us all. As we continue to ask good questions, or actually let the text ask the good questions, and think about those questions and how those questions may be asked by us or asked of us from time to time. This week, we focus on the question that Mary voices when the angel comes to her. How can this be? How can it be? Sometimes things are too good to be true or sound too good to be true. About 40 years ago, there was a person named Elvita Adams. It was actually December of 1979. And Elvita, for her reasons, went to the observation tower of the Empire State Building and jumped. She wasn't the first to try that, to do that, but she was the first to have this happen. She survived. A gust of wind blew her into a balcony that was just one floor down, so she jumped off and got blown back into the building and landed on a balcony. She had injured her hip, and doctors, you know, fixed her up, and they probably took her to some kind of ward to be evaluated after that and helped further, not just with the physical injuries. But if you heard that somebody leapt from the top of the Empire State Building and survived, you'd probably think that sounds too good to be true. And of course it does. And yet, in this case, it is true. If it seems too good to be true, what's the rest of it that we say? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Over the last couple weeks, the battery in my truck was failing, and it was getting harder and harder to start. So I thought, well, I need to get a battery, and so I got online and I looked at different places and different prices and different options that I could have or whatever, and the size and the cold cranking amps and all these details that I don't know that much about. And then I just happened to think, well, I have Amazon Prime. I could just save myself the outing to all of these places. So I got on and I found a battery, and the price was better than the others. And then it would ship to my house. This is easy. It'll be here Friday. Click, 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 done. And it arrived, and my truck battery that I ordered was about this big. Because in the picture, you can't really tell that it's a small one. And when you search for battery for your truck, and it's one of the options that shows up on the screen, I just thought it would actually work. It was too good to be true. In this case, it sounded too good to be true, and it was too good to be true. When things sound too good to be true, we arrive at honest doubt. That's where Mary was. Mary wondered at the message of the angel. She wondered what that even greeting could be. This image on the screen is called The Annunciation. It's by an artist, John William Waterhouse. And when I saw it, I thought, that's a pretty appropriate painting of this encounter that Mary had. Because you can see on her face and her body language the surprise and the wondering of the entire scenario that the angel describes. She was troubled even from the greeting, greatly troubled, the text says in verse 29, trying to discern what sort of greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you. What? When angels show up in the Bible, typically, the response that people have is fear, right? The fear of seeing an angel, and we're not quite sure all the reasons for that. Is it the appearance of the angel, the sudden, you know, somebody showed up, and here I was just minding my own business, and somebody's greeting me, calling me by name, and saying, oh, favored one, or, you know, is the angel in its appearance something that strikes awe in the heart? Mary was struck by the greeting and further wondered what the message of the angel might mean. Picking up in verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. So here she is afraid. you have found favor with God. Doesn't describe how or why she has found this favor. But then in verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then the description further goes on to say that this is what he's going to do. He's going to be great. The son of David, he will be on the throne. All this is going to happen. And Mary asks a very practical question. How will this be? How will this be since I'm a virgin? The literal text, which is picked up in some of the translations, is since I know not a man. Since I don't know a man in that Semitic sense of knowing, which rendered since I'm a virgin is appropriate. How will this be? How can I conceive and bear a son? She's betrothed to Joseph, but she understands that the message of the angel is more current, more present than that. Not future, sometime down the road, somehow through you and your husband. No, this is the Son of God who's going to do all these things described. How is this going to be? How is this possible? What would you do if that kind of announcement was made to you? What do you do when things don't make sense? Well, we have good questions too. Some of God's word can seem too good to be true. Leaves us with questions, with wondering. A lot of people wrestle with the entire account of creation. That God could speak words over 6 days and everything that's visible or invisible, the way the creed describes it, is created. Certainly a struggle. Because to our minds and in our reason, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Right? And science says things are millions of or billions of years old, and these things happened over, you know, long, long periods of time. And so we have this tension and we wrestle with it. And God's word sounds too good to be true, that God could just, bam, do it. How about the incarnation, that the Son of God, the one that Mary was told she was going to conceive and give birth to, that the Son of God, this member of the Trinity, would be incarnate and born as a baby. This doesn't make sense. And the nature of Christ being fully God and fully human at the same time, not 50-50, not some of and some of, but no, fully God and fully man. How does that work? Does it make sense? Or the Lord's presence in communion, that in the body and, or in the bread and wine, that the body and blood of Jesus are there. It's a mystery to us how that happens. How God is at work in simple things, even the message of grace. That the Almighty, all-powerful, just, holy God of the universe, who created it in 6 days, that's what the word says, wants to forgive us, would desire us to the point that he would go through all of this, that the incarnation of Jesus happened. And that one who was born to Mary walked the road of the cross. If that doesn't sound too good to be true, well, maybe we're not thinking it through. We're the sinners in this scenario that he came to save. Without any worth, without anything to offer, without any worthiness of what he has done for us. That sounds too good to be true. And in those stories of and words and things that are too good to be true, doubt can creep in because faith can be challenging. But God can handle our questions. There was a man in my former church in Oklahoma. His name was Bob Perry. And he would say from time to time, he had a lot of pithy sayings. Bob was a great man. And he would say, God honors honest doubt. And at first when I heard that, I thought, I don't know, Bob. I'm not sure But I think what he was getting at is we're going to have these doubts. We're going to have these things we wrestle with. And I think what God will honor in that is that we wrestle with it and we don't just give in to every wind of teaching or everything that we hear, but we wrestle with it in a way that says, it doesn't make sense to me. I want to understand. I want to learn that nothing is impossible with God. That's what Mary hears. In verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Sometimes I think we have a hard time believing that. We struggle with that idea. And because we don't expect more than might be possible, more than might make sense. The angel answered Mary's questions. This is another image of the Annunciation. And this one I chose because in the center window there, God is, you know, the Father is looking down upon her, and the Spirit represented as the dove. And there's that the line drawn from the image of the dove right to Mary. So the power of the Spirit overshadowing her. That's what's described in verse 35 of Luke 1. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So the word from the messenger, which is a literal meaning of angel, the message brought to Mary was first about David and ancestry and the things that Jesus would do. When Mary asks the question, it kind of goes to another level, right? It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to do this. This one will be the Son of God. God had a plan for how it would be done, and it didn't depend on how things usually are or what would make sense to Mary or generations of people after her. Because people still wrestle with the truth of the virgin birth. People still ask the question Mary asked, how can this be? A virgin giving birth. Even though it was prophecy being fulfilled that we heard in Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin will give birth to a son. And here it is being fulfilled in Mary with the birth of Jesus. Gabriel, to support that statement that nothing is impossible with God, points to her relative Elizabeth, now 6 months into her pregnancy, one who was said to be barren. Nothing's impossible with God. God, through the angel, could have used Sarah and Abraham to tell the same story because the same condition was said about Sarah. And yet Sarah gave birth to a son. And any number of examples could have been said of God doing the impossible. Yes, in those 6 days of creation, or through Noah building an ark on dry ground, or through Moses who led God's people across dry ground, and so many other events connected with the Exodus, or through Joshua repeating what God had done at the Red Sea, at the River Jordan, or the walls of Jericho falling down, or Gideon leading 300 men against thousands, or David conquering the land, or Daniel in the lion's den, or any number of other times when God intervened and did things that just don't make sense. The men in the furnace, and many other times. God doesn't make sense to us, and he doesn't owe us that. In fact, if God starts making sense, is he all-powerful? If God starts making sense, is he omnipresent, omni-everything? God's power is unlimited. God doesn't fit in our boxes. But that makes us uncomfortable. At some level, right, it makes us a little uncomfortable that God goes beyond what we understand. We like to understand things. We like to know how things work. We like to know what comes next. We like to make sense of the world in which we live. But God's power won't make sense to us. And that's okay. In fact, it's good. Because at some point, faith yields. Not to reason. But faith yields to God's power, to God's wisdom, to God's strength, to God's might, to God's ability to do anything and everything he chooses. Faith yields to that and says, okay, this is what Mary did. Mary was the servant of the Lord. This is toward the end of the text we heard read in Luke chapter 1. Mary said, verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary was willing to do what God wanted of her, what was being asked of her. She submitted to this plan that was going to change the course of her life dramatically. Mary was just some young woman living in this little town, maybe kind of a small city, betrothed to a man, promised to be married to this man, Joseph. Her expectations of her life were probably to raise a family, have a home, cook meals, support her husband, be in the community, be connected to her extended family, neighbors, etc. That might have been about it. Maybe she had the desire to travel to the big city someday. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's take a vacation. Well, let's go over to the Mediterranean. Let's go to the coast one time. We have no idea what Mary may have expected of her life, but it certainly was not that she would be the mother of the Savior of the world. It certainly disrupted her engagement and wedding planning. But what did Mary say? Yes. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I will go where you want. I will do what you desire. I will endure if necessary. And she would suffer as only a mother can. And she would bless the entire world as the mother of Jesus. Similarly, by faith, we serve and follow. We serve and follow when we say yes. When we say, yes, Lord, I will do what you ask. Yes, Lord, I will fulfill that plan you have for me. What does it look like? It varies. Mary was the only one ever asked to be the mother of Jesus. At least as far as we know. I don't think anybody said no to that. No thanks. Go find somebody else. Well, hey, you're over here. Mary, come here. I don't think that's how it worked. And maybe you're the only one that's ever been asked to do something you've been asked to do, called to do. Because it looks different for all of us. But the answer is the same. May it be to me according to your word. Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will be a person in my family, a person in my neighborhood, a person in my community who is following you, who is living the life you call me to live, who's doing the things that you ask me to do. By the power of Almighty God working in us, that same Spirit in us, filling us with the faith to say yes and to submit and to receive the word of God that doesn't make sense to our reason, but fills our hearts and helps our minds to say yes, Lord. How can it be? Well, that same God who could conceive in a virgin, who could create in 6 days by the power of his word, by the work of his Spirit, will bring to completion that which he has started in us. This journey of faith in our lives that takes us places we might not expect to go. Let's follow. How can it be? By the power of God alone. Amen.